powerful name is the name of Jesus. I remember that name. For me, it was a swear word for most of my young growing up. Maybe for you it was too. But I remember this lady singing these songs. 10 and 9, 8 and 7, 6 and 5 and 4. You know this one? The countdown's getting, something like that. And I just remember her telling me and singing these songs and telling me about Jesus. Here's my question for you right here, right today. I don't know if the PowerPoint's working, I'm having problems with it, but I want you to answer some questions for me. Number one is not a question for you to answer. It's one for you to think about. Maybe even mentally find that image in your mind. Who is the person? Who is that person that told you about Jesus? Maybe introduced you to Jesus, brought you to a place where you recognized you needed him, and maybe you even prayed at that moment to commit your life to Jesus. Do you think about that person? Got that person in your mind? Can I ask you? Yes. You know who that person is. Yeah. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I'm so grateful for the lady in my life. I'll show you in a minute. I hope I can show you. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. If her picture doesn't show up there, then we'll be okay with that. I want you to hear God's word this morning. I want to start, even before I get into my other questions, I want to read this scripture for us, and we're going to come back to it, and we're going to unpack it a little bit. Today, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So last week, we were in 2 Corinthians 8. I guess we're just working backwards in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. So today, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you've got a Bible with you, I just encourage you to turn there with me. If you don't find one around you. There's blue Bibles and some brown Bibles in underneath, and follow along. I'm going to just read here from chapter 5, verse 14, down to the end of the chapter. Oh God, would you wake up our hearts? Would you help us to see with new eyes? Would you help us to hear with ears that are thirsty for your truth? In Jesus' name, amen. You see, it says, for Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. He's not counting men's sin against them, men or women's sin. Better add that. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And so we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Sounds like I'm preaching already. But those are the words. These are the words of Scripture that we need to wrestle with today. We need to be challenged with today. Here's my questions for you. Are you ready? Who's ready? Matt's ready. I'm glad Matt's ready. Some of you are not sure because you don't know what the question is coming. Uh-oh. I'm going to get myself in trouble. First question. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way into a relationship with God, our Father, and entrance into his eternal kingdom? Let me ask you again, because that was kind of spotty. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way into a relationship with God the Father and entrance into his eternal kingdom? Okay, I got a more clear picture of who I'm speaking to now. Yes, you believe that? Okay, here's the second question. Do you believe there's unlimited room in his kingdom for whoever believes? Really? Then doesn't it make sense that if we believe these two things, that we would be passionate about telling people about him? Makes sense. It makes sense, but what's holding us back? Do you dare answer that question? What's holding you back from being passionate about telling the people that God has put in your way? We talked about that quite a bit last summer. We handed out those nice bright yellow cards. Anybody still got those? Got it on your fridge? Maybe you've filled it all the way around, all the houses around you, and you know your neighbors and who they are because God intentionally put you in that house, in that neighborhood, in that community because he wants you to love those people around you. He's put you in that job, in that specific place, in that specific community, in this specific time for you to be able to love the people he's put you there with. Even the ones that it's hard to, he's put you there on purpose. See, he's got a purpose. He's got a plan for us. He wants us to love him, and he wants us then to move from when we fall in love with him so deeply, I'll guarantee you, when you fall in love with Jesus, you will not have a chance to stop talking about him. It'll come out of your mouth. When you love him, you want to tell others. You want to share that love of Christ with others. Not in an awkward way. Hey, have you heard of the four spiritual laws? Well, have I got a deal for you? No, not in an awkward way, in a real, authentic way. It's a hard conversation. I said last week's conversation was hard when I'm talking about, you know, challenging you, Christians, that you're supposed to be about involved in the giving of your tithes, your offerings, your gifts to the church for the kingdom cause, for the furtherance of the kingdom. That was a hard conversation for me as the preacher to preach to you. But it's harder. It's harder for me to get up here and tell you that you need to be passionate about sharing the good news, about telling the story. Because it's hard for us. Anybody get afraid? I'm afraid. I'm afraid of turning off my neighbors. I'm afraid that they've already labeled me as the crazy preacher that lives next door. Don't have too long of a conversation with him in the back alley because it might lead to him talking about God. I hope that's not true because I don't talk about God unless an invitation comes, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Oh, it makes sense that if we believe these two things, that Jesus is the only way to a relationship with God the Father, is the only way into an eternal kingdom, that everybody's excited about going to heaven, even those that are not going there think they are. If you're a Christian, someone told you. It might have been your parents, it might have been a friend, or a co-worker, or a fellow student. For me, it was Karen. And Karen had 5 kids at the time. Did I get that right, Dorothy? I see all their faces in my mind. And I went to school with, two of them were close to me, and I went to school with them. These were the weird kids at school. Did you go to school with any weird kids? I'm talking, they didn't have a TV in their house. Back in the early 80s, that was weird. They didn't have a TV. And then they go and invite me to a backyard good news club. A goodness club? What's that all about? Well, we're going to have milk and cookies. I'm in. Sign me up. So I went the first day and we sang some of these songs, and I love singing. So, I mean, the songs really caught me. But this Miss Karen, she was just, there's something different about her. She sang these songs with something more than just fun. There was something about her. Oh, that's not her. Later I found out Karen's life wasn't all that great. She had lots of tragedy and struggle in her life. But you know what she had? She had the love of Jesus just gushing out of her. Couldn't hold it in. Even in the midst of her tragedy, she loved. And I remember the days she said, anybody want to ask Jesus into their heart? And me and my friend Tony, we put up our hands. And then she did something that she would never be able to do today. She said, okay, come with me down into the basement. We went into this funny little room. She closed the door, and we got down on our knees. And she said, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And she said, it's not a prayer. This is a commitment that you're talking to Jesus, the God of the universe. And I want you to... I remember all of this. I was 10 years old. 1976. I just told you how old I am. Me and Tony. There she is. That's what she looks like more today. And me and Tony were there, and we heard this word that Jesus loved us and that he wants to have a relationship with us, this Jesus. What about you? Do you remember that person? It's really important. I think it's important to know that someone had to tell me the good news. Somebody told me the good news about Jesus. Now, it didn't stop there. She told on me. She told the church. How dare she? You know what? She told this leader of this boys' brigade club thingy. And then these guys were knocking on my door saying, hey, is Trevor here? We want to pick him up for boys' club. You want to come to boys' club? And Mr. Lynn came, and he took me off to boys' club every week. And that was fun because there was food there too. That was great. But more than that, I mean, it was really cool because we did all these cool things, and we played these, not just games, but we did cool activities. They took me camping. We did all kinds of things. You know what was really interesting about that? Is that more people got to know who Trevor was. Yeah, he was a messed up little boy who lived in a really challenging world. But they started loving on me. And the church caught on to me. And then the bigger part of the church caught on to me. And I know the pianist didn't like me very much, but that's okay. That's all right. The rest of the church was loving on me like crazy, and they brought me to Jesus. And there's a youth pastor that came. And then he told me, in the midst of my crazy teenage years, when I was just going all out partying, he said, Jesus loves you. And I said, I remember that. I remember hearing another lady tell me that same thing. And I was caught by the wonderful grace of Jesus. How about you? Do you remember when you were caught? I'm not sure if you're catching on, but this is really important. It's really important for you to understand that somebody in this world told you about Jesus, and that you came to a place where you were caught in the wonderful grace of Jesus. That you were caught in such a way that you want to love Jesus. That you want to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all of your strength. Because when you get to that place, guess what? You're in. It might not have been the prayer that I said when I was 10 years old. On my knees in that little room. But I know that that's where it started. It started there. She told me about Jesus. My friend Terry continued on that conversation and that cajoling, and sometimes I think he had to drag me. But these people were faithful to love me as the church. And it's the same thing in your life. How do I know that? Because the scriptures tell the story. They tell the story, this wonderful story. The story of Jesus connecting with people in such a way that they wanted to follow him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14 to 21, and we come back here, and I'm with Paul. Christ's love compels me, because I'm convinced that that one person died for all, and therefore all died. He died for those that so that we would live, not for ourselves, but for him. And I know that because of my decision to follow after Christ, that I am not the same person I used to be. For me, that was the turning point. That was when I realized that God had me, that he caught me. Because I wasn't the same person anymore. God did something inside of me that I couldn't deny on the outside of me. And it was through a person. I am so glad that my friend Karen, she obeyed the Lord. Because the Lord told her, Karen, I'm calling you to share your faith. I'm calling you to share your faith with young kids. I'm calling you to share your faith with this kid that I've got in mind, Trevor Hagen. I want you to tell him the story. See, that's the first thing I want you to catch on to, is that God calls us to share our faith. Verse 19 and 20. If you don't have some of this underlined in your Bible, you should really underline these verses, especially verse 19. Or sorry, verse 20. Verse 20 is so important for us to catch on and kind of understand this verse. It says in verse 19, see that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. That was God's whole plan. He sent Jesus because there was no one else. There was no one on this earth that was worthy of becoming the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It was Jesus. It was Jesus alone that could do it because he was sinless. He came as God to earth. God with us. He lived among us. He experienced life. He was tempted, but yet without sin. He was the only one that could be killed, sacrificed, and his blood spilled out for the forgiveness of my sin. Do you agree with that? It's an important understanding. God calls us to share our faith. So we are therefore, he's also committed this message of reconciliation to us as well. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation, it says in verse 19, and then into verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is an important understanding that God has called me to be an ambassador. I wanted to catch up. There's a fella in town here who used to be an RCMP, and he was a part of the ambassadors team over in Israel, and I was hoping to catch up to him this week, and I wasn't able to. But when you stop and you think about ambassador, what does that mean? What does an ambassador mean? Turn to your neighbor real quick and try and define what ambassador means. Ready, set, go. Find someone. Call it. Help this young fella out up here. What's an ambassador? Bring it. A representation? Okay. Yes? What else? Yes. Doesn't just represent them, because we can represent them with our hands in our pockets, but speaks for him. Empowers, you say? They have power. Ambassadors have power. They have power to act on behalf of the one that they represent. Christ is calling you to be an ambassador for him.
Well, not me. I don't have the gift of evangelism.
I'm sorry. But in Matthew chapter 28, these are the words of Jesus to his followers. Do you remember them? Matthew chapter 28, it says right here, all authority, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me on earth, in heaven. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, my disciples, those who choose to follow me, church, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. We're called to believe so that we can live the story of the Bible to become more like Jesus, who went from village to village preaching that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. Therefore, repent and be baptized, every single one of you. And this is the message he's now given to us to continue on. It's our job to now tell people, repent. Well, okay, maybe we won't say it in those words. We might say, hey, you know what? We're broken. You might say it like I've said it for years. We're all screwed up. Some of us are just better at hiding it than others. And you need Jesus. And when you find him, you recognize when he finds you, you recognize that he's the one that turns us around. But you know what? I turn around and walk the other way so many times. I want to do my own thing. I want to do it my way. And I realize I have to turn around and come back to him. That's repentance. This is repentance. He's called us, when we learn about Jesus, to turn from our own way and to turn to him, commit our lives and follow after him. This is what he's calling us to. This is the message of reconciliation. This is the message that he planned on telling us through his son, but not just telling us with his words, he showed it with his very life. He gave himself to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. So sharing my faith. God calls us to share our faith. What an awesome responsibility. God is making his appeal to people, and he wants to be in relationship with us, but he wants to use us to help other people come into relationship with him. Yikes. He's going to tell me to go to Niger next. Welcome home, Lisa. No, he's calling you right where he's got you. Maybe he's calling you to Niger. That's entirely possible. If you open up yourself to him, he will fulfill all of your dreams and wishes in the midst of his plan. Maybe it's to Niger. Maybe it's to Senegal, where Katie is going. Or maybe it's to the middle of nowhere in Afghanistan. Or maybe it's right where he's got you, to the neighbors that he's called you to the family he put next door to you. How about the family that he put inside of your house? It's an awesome responsibility, and I use awesome in the most careful way. I wonder who comes to mind in your sphere of influence. Who is that person in your sphere of influence who you recognize this person really needs God? Think about that person. Hey, let's take a moment and pray for them. Take a moment and pray for you. God, help me. Help me to be able to do this, what you've called us to do, to share our faith. And it leads to our key question. How do I share my faith with those who don't know God. The subject freaks out most people. It's like public speaking. Studies show that most people are more afraid of speaking in public than dying. Except you and me. People are basically saying, you know, I've had people say to me, I can't believe that you can do what you do. I'd rather die than do what you do. Oh. We're afraid. That is, it's so real in my life that we're afraid. There's so many things we're afraid of. But one of the things I'm most afraid of in my life, if you can handle my confession, church, is I am afraid of rejection. And so I turn and I run away from telling the people the things that they really need to hear because I'm afraid of being rejected. I'm afraid that I'll say the wrong words. I'm afraid that I won't tell it properly, then I'll let my Lord down. I'm afraid. Oh, there's so much we could talk about here, but there's two principles that I want us to share with and look at here today, I think that come directly from this passage, that are going to help us with this God-sized assignment, because it's not a me-sized assignment, it's bigger than me. It's bigger than me to reach out to my neighbor who has grown up agnostic and doesn't really want God, doesn't think they need God. So don't talk to me about God. Luke makes this comment about this growth. You remember the first church and how it exploded? And sometimes I wonder, God, would you do that here? Do you remember in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Daily. Thousands were coming to the Lord. All at the same time. Every single day, people were giving their lives to Christ. Every day, not just Sunday. How did they do it? Look at the beginning of this paragraph, verse 42. There's four things in this group of early believers, these followers of Jesus, four things that they did. This is a place for us to start. This is how we share the good news of Jesus. This is how we share our faith. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, not just communion. They committed themselves to eat together, to have meals together, to hospitalize each other, not to feed each other, and to prayer. Notice they didn't devote themselves to evangelism. And yet, people were coming to Christ every single day. Evangelism, it was the natural outflow of their personal development in Christ Jesus. They're hungry for Jesus. They want to know Him. So they turned to the Old Testament for that. They didn't have the New Testament yet. They turned to the Old Testament and they were finding Jesus all throughout the pages. And they were learning more about what God had for them and what they were then to do. And they ate together. They connected with one another. Hey, you need some help? You need some food? I got some. I'll give some. I'll sell my house and I'll bring you back. I got you covered. They fellowshiped together. They ate together and they prayed together. Look at some of the stories in the New Testament about what happened when God's people prayed. Angels showed up. Remember that one? They're in jail. And what was the church doing? They were back at the house praying, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door. And here's Peter. What are you doing? Open the door. Ah! Slam the door, run back in. We were just praying for Peter, right? He's at the door. Well, let him in. Peter comes in and tells this story about how the angel took the shackles off, opened the gate. He was able to just walk right out of jail. The church was praying. These were the things that they're doing. It was the natural outflow of their relationship with God, of their growing with God. And you know what that tells us? I want you to write this down. Living your faith is the best way to share your faith. I've said it in the last couple weeks that I've been speaking back here, and that this aroma that comes off of our life needs to be the aroma of Christ. Not the broken aroma of me in my own selfishness, my pity, my loneliness, my hurt, my fear. They need to have the aroma of Christ. And so the more I put my confidence in Him, the more I chase and seek after Him, the more that aroma comes off of me. The best way to share my faith is to live it out everywhere that I go. See, your investment is in your own spiritual development. In order to become like Christ, that's the best, that's the most effective tool that we have in our evangelism toolbox, to become more like Christ. The more I become like Christ, the more I shine, the more I smell like Jesus. And you know what the smell does? Draws people in. I want what He has. Yeah, that biggest attraction to Christ is when people authentically live like Him every day of their week, not just on Sunday, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, at work, at school, wherever we go. Discipleship, there's this big word again. That's what this is all about. It's my living out of the Christ life. That's me learning what does it mean to be a follower after Jesus. And they were called disciples, and I want to be one too. And so discipleship of God's people is the very best strategy for evangelism. You know, that's the mission. That's the mission that we're about. We want to be like Jesus. We want people to say, you know what? That person acts a whole lot like Jesus. I mean, their life just exudes the love of God. Here at the church, I'm not sure if you noticed the new sign out front, but it's something that we want to have in us and through us, an understanding of how the gospel works. See, our mission statement, that's going to be up there soon too. But our mission statement, when we sat down and we looked through God's Word and we recognized that He's called us to a commandment that was different and new. That commandment was to love God and love people. And then this commission that He gave us to go and to make disciples, to actually share our faith in a way that other people hear, just like I did. Why is it important to know who it was that led us to a place where we turned to Jesus? It's important to know that because we are going to be that person to somebody else at some point. I have faith that God's plan is going to work. It's worked this far, and here we are. We want to love Jesus with our lives. So just by living it out, we recognize here that we want to shine in such a way. This is our mission statement. We want to shine for Jesus by loving God. That's a vertical relationship, which causes us then to love people and which moves us into serving people in such a way that we want them to have what we have. And it makes a full circle. And so that's why we have this new mission process, that we want to be about loving God, which moves us. It moves us. When we love God like crazy, He fills us with a love that we can't keep to ourselves. I try. I don't want to share this. It's too good. No, I can't. I can't not share it, because the more I give away, the more I experience of Him. He fills me with His love in order to share it with you and with my neighbors. And when that happens, something else transfers into us. There comes in us a recognition that, you know what, that person really needs what God has given to me. And maybe I need to find a way to bring it from God to them. That's what making disciples is all about. And so I want to be a disciple that makes disciples that makes disciples. Someone was a disciple who made me a disciple, and now it's my responsibility to make someone else a disciple. Not just make them, you know, ka-chunk, got another one. No. Loving people in such a way that we bring them to Christ, and that their lives, we see their lives transform. It's so beautiful. Maybe for you, that's sharing that in your own life in such a way that your kids come to Christ. Maybe for you, maybe you do have the gift of evangelism and you're just holding it back. No, I don't want to do this. No. And people all around you start coming to the Lord because you opened your mouth. Oh, wasn't supposed to tell you had to do that, was I? That's the next part. This is what happens when we love God with our lives, when we love people, and it moves us to reach and disciple those who don't know God yet, and that's discipleship. And when this happens, lost people are found. And we're better, we are so much better. The church is going to grow. The church is going to flourish. I love this concept. Spring is a beautiful time because we see the buds come onto the trees and then they start opening and then there's a day where they pop and we see a flower bloom and it flourishes and the tree flourishes. That's a beautiful picture to me of the church. When the Holy Spirit comes and He brings His love and we share it with each other, we will pop, we'll wake up, we'll come alive in such a way that we want those around us to come alive as well. Lost people are found. And I'm betting the farm on your spiritual growth. And as God brings you along, that you will then in turn have opportunity to share your story with someone else for His glory, so that those people can come to Christ as well. That's the challenging part. See, because I believe that I share my faith with others to fulfill God's purposes. That's the key point of this whole message. But we're also called to this final point, that at some point, we like to preach, as Francis Assisi did, that we should preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. But I believe that there comes a time in all of our lives where we are sharing our lives and we're living our lives and we're gushing the love of God all over the people around us, but there might come a time when you have to say, you know what this is all about? It's not about me. It's about Jesus living in me, and you need Him. You got to say it. You'll have to come to a point where you'll have to say. You'll have to convince people. You're going to be like Paul is right here, that the love of God is compelling him to speak and tell them about the job of reconciliation that He's given to us. So He wants us to talk. He wants us to say something. I believe that if we pray for it, He is going to fill us in such a way that He's going to present an opportunity. Here's my job. I'm going to live my life. I love Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want Him to live in through me. Hey, how you doing? You want to know about God? Oh, all right. I'll tell you. I got to tell you. Because my life is just filled so much with His love that I want to tell you. Let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. You want the power of a testimony? I'll guarantee you this. The power of your testimony will never happen at this pulpit or in this church. The power of your testimony is going to come through your life to the people directly that He has brought into your life, those ones that you are supposed to tell your story to. Everybody's got a story to tell. I told you mine already. So we start right there with the story He's given us to tell. The one that we know better than anybody else. The one we know the things that we were struggling with. We know the brokenness that was in our lives. We know what He's done to change us, mold us, and shape us. This is the story that He's entrusted you to tell those around you. God calls us to have courage to speak up about our faith at the perfect opportunity that He'll give to us. He gives us those opportunities. Gives me opportunities to talk to my neighbors all the time. Sometimes I go out front and I'll stand there and I'll just enjoy the opportunity. A little guy was walking by yesterday. He was so cute. So I stepped out on the deck. I said, "Man, you make cute kids." You know, a great conversation with a fella right there. In the back, you know, "You need a tool? I got a tool. I'll give you some tools. What can I help you with? How can I help?" I remember one day, My neighbor came home, and I pulled in, and he was in the backyard doing something. He was just standing there. And I knew he was a paramedic, and I knew he had to deal with crazy stuff. I remember getting out of the car, and how you doing? Ah, all right. I said, is that the truth? He says, no, not doing good at all. A big fight with my wife. Yeah, I heard that. You heard that? Don't be embarrassed. I have fights with my wife all the time. I'm sure you've heard them. And then an opportunity came. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't planning it. But an opportunity came in that simple moment when he recognized that I'm real as he's real. I've got problems like he has problems. And he was able to just pour out his heart to me. And I was able to tell him about Jesus. He allowed me, he gave me permission to speak the truth. He didn't run going, oh, the preacher's preaching it. No, he was ready. He was prepared by God. So that's the other side of it. He's calling us to speak, but you know what? He's doing the work ahead of us. He's the one that's preparing the hearts ahead of us. And he's calling us to be faithful with what we've got, my story. Well, I think that there's a little bit more that we can be doing to be prepared. And disciples, this is a time for us to learn, right? Take out a pen. Have you got a pen? Everybody got a pen? No? Howie doesn't have a pen. Howie, find a pen. I want you to write three things down. I'm going to teach you how to share the gospel right here and right now. Are you ready? Write this down. Doug's writing on his hand. Good. You'll never forget it this way. Three things. You write this. A, B, C. Got it? That's how you share the gospel. Let me tell you what it means. A, admit. We can help people to see that they're just as screwed up as we are. That they're just as much in need as I am. If you want the formal way to say it, we need to take them to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, where it says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And you know what? God's got something better for you, because, you know, in 6:23, Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin, that brokenness in us, the wages of sin is death. But the good news is that you get a free gift, and the free gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we would admit, we need to stop and admit, well, I'm not a sinner, someone would say. Oh, really? Really? And they go, okay, I might have sinned once. Okay, twice. Okay, I'm just getting it. I realize I'm a sinner. When we get to that point, we realize, you know what? We need to admit that I'm a sinner. I need to admit that I have sin in my life. Next step, I need to believe. I need to believe. You know the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Believe. See? Confess. Oh, it's up there. You know it all already. See, confess. Confess is not just about pouring my guts out to the person, because I'll tell you, he didn't want to tell me all of his sin at that point, and I wasn't ready to receive all of his sin. But there's times when we get opportunities to hear confession from one another, but this confession is different. This confession is recognizing I've admitted and I've chosen to believe that Jesus died and rose again for me. C is about confessing. It's about confessing with my mouth what I believe in my heart. It's about confessing Jesus as my Lord. It's about confessing, this is the truth, and I want to live it. And I think the scriptures are pretty clear that it says when you repent, the next step is that you get what? Baptized? Baptized. A, B, C. Confess. If you want the scripture word, the scripture that goes with the confess, oh, they're all up there. There you go. The confess one. We go two more slides. The confess one is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There you go. It's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God in my mouth. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And for us, I'm so grateful that someone came and confessed and told me, because confession moves right on to that. Confessing Jesus is what brought me here. Confessing Jesus is what got Karen to actually open her mouth and tell me about Jesus. A, B, C. This is how we share our faith. We share our faith first because it was commanded. Second, because he's challenged us to live our life for him. And third, that sometimes I have to open my mouth and actually speak this stuff. I confess about my faith. I tell my story. And in telling my story, I'm allowed to use the A, B, C. Admit, believe, confess. The Apostle Paul, the most flaming evangelist in history, asked for prayer from his friends. Listen to this verse. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. This is our memory verse for this week. He said, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. As I should. Oh, this flaming preacher man was afraid. He asked for prayer from his friends because even he too was afraid. And I find great comfort in that. I want to do that for you as well today. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for us. And worship team's going to come. I want to pray for us that we would be able to fearlessly proclaim the truth that we know that Jesus is the only way and that there's room. I don't have time to get into it today, but one day I'm going to preach a message on the truth of hell that we need to hear. Not of fire and brimstones, but of the very real place that we need to recognize, because the truth is that those who are not following after Jesus are facing an eternity of damnation and suffering and pain. And we need to talk about that reality. So for today, let's pray. Let's pray for the guts. Let's pray for the courage that each one of us need. Pray with me. God, here we are. We've all kind of had that conversation in our mind, first of all, that we're afraid to tell people. But then we think back to that person that you've shown each one of us who told us about you. And we recognize that that person had the guts to be able to tell us the truth. Oh, we need your truth in our life. I need you in my life. And I recognize that. I thank you for saving me, for bringing that person to tell me about you. And now you've given me the responsibility to pass that gift on to those around me. And it's not our responsibility, it's not my responsibility that if they take that gift, it's not my responsibility to make them unpack it. That's your work. You've called me to give the gift. You've called me to share my faith, my testimony, my life, to live my life for you. And I pray for each one of us here today that we would be able to, even as Paul prayed, to declare it fearlessly. Declare this good news fearlessly to those that you have put in our sphere of influence. And we'll honor you in this way. And we praise you in this way. And we lift up your awesome name in this way. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. We want to leave here.